Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 160. I am Chris, as always joined by Tony.
Happy feet!
And Fozzie.
Yeah!
And Jeff.
I can say whatever I want about GameStop now, motherfuckers. I won't say much, but...
Do you have something you want to say about them?
No, not really. But
do you believe in the GameStop cause, Jeff? Can you come out once and for all and tell us that you hate everything that they do?
I hate a lot
glad
of
you
what they do. I understand a lot of what they do, but I also hate a lot of what they do. Maybe we'll get into it at some point. I don't know.
Maybe not tonight, but that's
yeah.
Maybe after you have a few, you know, drink a little bit more.
Just get a little bit.
I feel that our Thanksgiving episode will just be Jeff railing on them because he'll be trashed.
Or I might be railing on
the U.S. Postal Service.
Today was my first day. I actually really enjoyed the job itself. Like, I actually liked it, but it's physically taxing. Like, it looks easy when you see them doing it, but...
Having to carry all that mail and, you know, walk around.
It's physically
and the dogs chasing you. It's awful.
The first time she let me go on my own... I heard it like a dog come up behind me, and I turned behind me, and there was nothing there. And I think I was like, it was hot and shit. I think I might have been hallucinating. So there was that.
Or it was just the lady behind you, like, going,
Yeah. Or maybe it was like, behind a fence. Like, I got really angry. I heard someone running up on me. I love dogs. I'm a dog person, but apparently, like, they just don't like, you know, they don't like mailmen. And, I can see that through windows and fences today. They just hate you.
Is this maybe the uniform? They just don't like the uniform.
That's the thing, but I'm not wearing a uniform yet. You don't wear a uniform until you're after your probation period. So it's like, I don't know.
But see, you just look like a creeper walking around like with people's mail.
I look like how you would see me if I wasn't on a job anywhere. I have shorts and a t-shirt, you know?
Right.
But I have this.
You just happen to be carrying people's mail.
Right. Mm. That dog is like, that motherfucker stole the mail. Like, beat up the mailman.
Some dogs are just mean. And then, like, there was one, like, there was like a pit bull in a yard, and I didn't see it. I was just walking along a fence, and he, like, ran up on me, and I was like, whoa, I got all startled, and the lady, she's like, that'll wake you up quick, huh? I'm like, yeah. But yeah, dogs don't like mailmen.
I think it's like when I go out and walk my dog, at some point you learn where all the dogs are. Like, you figure it out.
Maybe does your dog get aggressive towards mailmen?
My dog is a pit bull.
Really?
He loves people. He does not get along well with other dogs. So, like, he would never, like, attack or, like, bite somebody. He might lick you a few times. And be really happy to see you. But if it's another dog, he gets, like, really defensive really quickly.
Layla's the same way.
It's the thing with pit bulls. Like, it's just that if you raise them properly, they socialize really well with people. Getting them to, like, agree with dogs is impossible. Like, you just have to, like, mitigate that. You can't really...
But they have a certain viciousness.
No, they're not vicious at all. In fact,
they're powerful, and they have
when they like rank dogs in accordance with how they get along with people, it's like golden retriever and then pit bull two.
What made you want to get a pit bull though? I wonder, because I would never get one of those types of dogs.
It came from my wife, so
okay.
I didn't really get a vote. But she found him. He was a stray. She found him when he was about 5 weeks old. Like, bald and whimpering outside her apartment window. She took him in and nursed him back to health.
Before we go on this for too long, we're going on a tangent here, but, like, were you afraid of it? Were you afraid of it when you first...
No, because I don't know. He doesn't have that full pit bull muscular vibe. It's more like, I would say he's got a very, like, lab look to him. But he's also, like,
yeah.
He's really sweet, and he's just really happy, and I don't know. He's not scary at all.
That's cool.
You're just weak, Jeff. That's pretty much what comes down to.
I love dogs, and I'm not afraid to approach any dog, but I won't. There's a few breeds like Pitbull and Rottweilers. I don't fuck with that. Do not. I'd be afraid of yours.
I don't know if you've experienced this yourself, Fozzie. When I'm out walking my dog, sometimes people like cross the other side of the street.
I will.
Wait, what would you say that you cross the other side of the street?
No, if I'm out like walking my dog, sometimes people like cross the other side of the street because it's a pit bull.
Oh. Yeah, sure. Like mostly I'm the one that actually crosses the street.
Really?
only if they have other dogs. But Layla's like kind of like small though. I don't know how big your dog is, but
she's about 50 pounds. So
your dog is significantly larger, almost like twice Layla's size. Because like she is a, they still think she's a pup. Most people, because she's like small, she's really weird.
I mix play it up a little bit too, because I got like the spike collar and all.
Do you at least if someone's walking another way towards you, will you grab the leash tight to like show them that you're in command of it? Like, because I had someone, I was walking down the street in Chicago the other day, and this kid was walking the other way, he had a pit bull, and I don't know, I tried not to look frightened, because you don't want to look frightened in front of them, but he pulled the leash real tight and held that dog close.
I was walking one time, and there was like a really fat woman walking down the sidewalk, and I walked around her. She shouted at me as I was walking away from her. She's like, "You walk too close to me with that dog." So I just turned around and like took a step, and my dog like stepped with me. So he like lunged towards her, and she like screamed her hands up in the air, and I just like burst out laughing.
Maniac. Well, we sometimes talk about video games, right?
We do. Is that what this show is? This is our third anniversary episode, so we've been doing this for a while. Yay us!
Woo!
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I'm sick of you guys.
We have some questions rolling in. I don't know how many, but I saw some from some of the regulars.
Drink quicker.
Yeah. I guess because Jeff wants to talk about games, though, and there's one in particular he wants to talk about. So let us know about Pikmin.
He's been playing a Divinity Dragon Commander.
Oh, has he?
You have the Pitman?
Jeff?
F.A.?
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're always... we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Hello, can you hear us, F.A.?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't for like a full 10 seconds. It just dropped my internet.
Mission control to Jeff.
I'm in a garage and using like some sort of Wi-Fi extender thing to get my internet, so it's kind of iffy.
Jesus Christ.
Which is funny because this is the best you've sounded in like months.
tell us about Pikmin, Jeff.
Pikmin, it's a really good game, Pikmin 3. There are a few small issues I have with it. Like, because it had so many control schemes, like, you could use your Wii Remote and stuff, and I heard that's great, but I'm of the opinion that you should be able to play the game with the controller that comes, you know, with your console.
The gamepad.
So that's how I'm playing it. And that's how I like to play Pikmin. Like, same controls I played on GameCube, essentially. They've changed them a little bit. Used to be your right stick would kind of move your group of Pikmin around you. Like, so say you're getting attacked by someone, you move the right stick to the left, the whole swarm of Pikmin will, like, go left, right?
Right.
That's gone. The right stick is just to move the camera around. It kind of fucks with combat a little bit. If you're in a big battle, there's, like, a dodge move, and that's mapped to left or right on the D-pad, which is awkward to reach over the D-pad with your right hand while you're running around with the left stick. And also, you could use that swarm move. Like, say you were near an enemy, if you pressed up on the right stick, they would all run in and kind of surround the enemy and attack him. Now, you have to auto-lock on, you have to lock on to the enemy with the left trigger, and then press B, and then they'll swarm. This would all be nice and fine. I kind of got used to it, but here's the problem. Is to lock on an enemy, you have to put your cursor on them, and the cursor is super wonky. It's, like, really loose, and there was one boss battle I was in, and I was trying to place my cursor on it. I'm like, I'm pressing it in all directions. I'm like, where is the cursor? It was, like, way off the screen. It was, like, way somewhere else. And so I died a couple times because of that. So there's, like, aiming and control issues with it.
No.
Yeah, there's aiming and control issues with it, for sure. Like, I'd like to see when someone try to argue me that there's not. Maybe if you play with the Wii remote, it's fine, but I'm sure you're sacrificing some sort of functionality with those fewer buttons, right?
Is this game going to frustrate me because of these control issues?
Yeah.
Well, I think it overcomes a lot of it because despite that, it's like a really well-designed game. It might be the best Pikmin of the three. I still have, like, I kind of still love the first one the most. But, like, yeah, it's just really well done. Like, if you like Pikmin, you're gonna like this game. Really larger areas to explore. The levels were pretty small in the first two. In the second one, they would make them bigger by having these deep caves that you go through. But here, it's just really big levels. It's Pikmin. Like, the new stuff they added are just two Pikmin types, like a rock Pikmin and a flying Pikmin. I like the flying Pikmin. They're cool looking. And they could carry stuff over, like, water and stuff. So other than, like the control and aiming issues, this is my opinion, it's a must-buy, whether you've played the series or not.
I mean, if you have a Wii U, there's really no reason not to get it, because there's nothing else to play on.
Because it's not just a must-buy, it's an only-buy.
Right. For at least another 2 months or so, like.
But, you know, I'm just a really big fan of the series. I think even if you've never given the series a shot, you should really do it. It's a really fun, like, action strategy game. The only other thing I could say about it, like, in a negative or critical light is the final boss? It's really fucking hard. Like, I've tried it, like, probably 10 times at least. And it's basically, like, this thing chasing you through a giant maze. And it'll catch up to you, and it'll scoop up all your Pikmin, and you're like, all right, I'm fucked. I got to start over again. So hopefully I'll beat it soon and maybe get a review out. But, it's weird to say that controls are a little issue, but the game is so well-designed that it almost becomes a little issue. It's great-looking, you know, great music, great level design. The game design itself, like the concept of the game is, I still think, a really good one. It just feels like they did too many control schemes for this, and they couldn't find one. They didn't put enough time in making one or all of them work, you know?
Right.
And it seems like they insist on, like, they say, like, Nintendo will say, like, Miyamoto will say, like, playing with the Wii Remote is the way to play. It's like, I don't want to do that. I don't like the Wii Remote, you know? So, that's my thoughts on it. I think you should get it. It's really fucking cool.
I plan on it. We'll see.
Do it immediately.
I don't know. I played a couple games this week. One of which I could talk about. One of which I really can't. So.
Oh, come on. Break embargo. Yeah. Fix it so we never get another review copy ever again.
Yeah. So I mean, I am allowed to say I'm playing Saints Row 4.
Oh.
I am allowed to say that.
See ya.
And what I played of it, it's pretty cool. Outside of that, I don't want to say a whole lot more, but coming off Saints Row 3, which I just played, that game's really cool.
I need to play that. Damn it, I have it sitting around, I just haven't played it.
I really liked it a lot. I could see where some people would be like, this. It abandons a lot of the open world aspect, like especially if you just streamline the main quest, but all that stuff's there. You just got to go look for it. It's awesome to be able to just like go into your garage and pull out a tank, and it's just like they just give it to you. You don't have to buy it. It's just there. Like you complete a mission and you have a tank. You complete a mission, you have a like VTOL, which is. Like, you just go and blow shit up all over the place. You go to the top of, like, the highest building and then jump off and parachute down. It's kind of what, I mean, you guys really got into, Just Cause
2. Yes.
And I just, I couldn't get into it, like that, there what? Was no, I need something kind of directing me to play through the game, otherwise I just kind of get lost, and I thought the missions but in Just Cause 2 were kind of, I mean, there was fun shit to do, but it was just a lot of fucking around, right? Like, that was where the fun in that game was.
The missions were fun?
I thought that they got really repetitive. It's like you had to go get enough chaos to go, you know, be able to do a new mission, which is one of my problems with the original Saints Row and Saints Row 2, was you had to kind of go do this side shit to continue on with the game.
But the side shit in Just Cause 2 was like, go blow up something, and it was awesome.
Right, but it, like, after you do it, like, 20 times, it's all the same shit.
It is, but yeah. I mean, before I let you go on from this, I think Just Cause 2 is better than any Saints Row game.
Okay. I mean, you're
throwing it out there.
I just did not get into Just Cause 2. Saints Row 3 has all that fuck around shit, but for some reason it just clicked for me. And maybe it was like the ridiculous storyline or whatever, but it worked for me.
I think that's one of the problems with the storyline in Just Cause 2 is that it takes itself, like, it's ridiculous, but it also takes itself seriously, which is a really odd.
Yeah, there's no taking, like, they have thrown any sense of being serious out the window in Saints Row 3. Like, the game starts off with you robbing a bank dressed as yourself.
Just Cause, though.
What was that, Foss?
I was saying that he was talking about Just Cause 2, not Saints Row.
No, but that.
Yeah, no, he's agreeing with me.
Yeah. There is no seriousness at all in Saints Row 3. Like, they throw it out the window. It's not even a matter of, like, we're trying to be funny taking ourselves seriously. It's, we're not taking ourselves seriously. This is stupid. And everything we do in it is stupid. Like, Burt Reynolds shows up at one point as the mayor of fucking Steelport, and he sends you on a mission to go kill zombies. That's the type of game Saints Row 3 is. And what I played in Saints Row 4 so far, they've amped it up a bit, so it's even more batshit. But yeah, the game Tony wants to hear me talk about, though, is Shadowrun Returns.
Yes, I do. Very much, actually.
So it's a isometric RPG, I think Fallout or Baldur's Gate, with the combat of XCOM. Enemy Unknown.
It sounds so good.
I mean, like, they lift the combat pretty much exactly. Like, you have action points, there is a certain amount of range that you can move in the level, and it'll somebody's breathing heavy.
I didn't do it.
And,
it's me.
Like, there's there's even the lines, like this, it looks exactly like XCOM's combat, just from a more pulled-out perspective. The story's pretty cool, the writing's good. I'm finding it to be pretty easy, though. I mean, I've died on a couple missions. And there's some weird quirks, though. Like, you can't save the game ever. It auto-saves, but only when you go into a new area, which is weird, because, like, I mean, you have to go in and out of an area for it to checkpoint. Mm-hmm. So, for you to say, like, that's a really weird thing, like, at this point.
Oh, so there's no, like, you can't, like, save in the middle of an area?
No. Like, if
that's
you're
weird.
If you're in the middle of an area, you're in the middle of it. And, like, sometimes they go a little long, like, there's a lot of dialogue, there's sometimes you can't leave an area until you've completed everything. So you can end up in an area for a good 20-25 minutes. And at one point I died in a combat scenario, and there was a whole conversation that takes place before the combat starts. So you get into this like multi-tiered engagement with enemies, and then if you die, like you have to redo like this entire scene, which is really, really kind of old school and bad checkpointing.
Yes, how?
It's a really big drawback for me, but so far, I really kind of like it. Environments aren't all that amazing, but it's a $20 RPG. So,
what game is this?
Shadowrun Returns.
Oh, I watched a quick look for that. I think they did that. You know what game looks really cool is that Van Helsing one.
Hey, the Diablo game.
Yeah, Diablo game.
I should probably play it at some point.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet actually.
If you like, tactical combat RPGs with the dialogue systems and an interesting leveling mechanic, Shadowrun Returns is pretty solid.
Damn it, I have to play that. I've been playing Dragon Age Origins, and it's like it's got that same feel to it. I just love that feel of those old games, Baldur's Gate and Fallout. And there just aren't that, like, as much as I've bemoaned Kickstarter, and I think it's just not the way you should make games. It's made these games that had long since died come back.
Right. Like, I mean, for every Kickstarter, for every, like, 10 or 12 Kickstarter horror stories, there's, like, one of these games that kind of shines through, like FTL or
right.
This one.
Making the new Homeworld 3. So we'll see how that is.
Is that being Kickstartered?
Yeah, they got it. It passed already, but they got enough money to make it.
Gearbox owns the license to that, so
I think they're going to try and buy it.
Well, they did. Gearbox bought the license.
When was that?
Back when, because it used to be a THQ property.
Yeah.
Gearbox bought the Homeworld license.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Fucking game already, goddammit.
I know they're trying to re-release Homeworld and Homeworld 2 in HD. I don't know how that's going to turn out, but.
Ooh, man, I've loved Homeworld.
But if they're kickstarting Homeworld 3,
That wasn't them that kickstarted. I don't know what to tell you, but
okay.
Someone maybe they gave the money back because they're like, we're going to try and bid for it.
Okay, so that they were trying to buy the license.
Lost it, I guess.
That seems even more sketchy than we're going to make this game.
Yeah. By the way, we don't have your money.
Right. Like some of the Double Fine stuff has me really feel really weird about some of the Kickstarter stuff. Like, some of these companies just shouldn't
be
doing this. Shadowrun Returns, pretty good for what it is. So, if you like that old style game. Another really weird thing, though, is there's no voice acting. And older games like this didn't have voice acting, but it just seems really out of place for, having these high-res graphics and just in this kind of environment where everything is voice acted, that it's just a lot of dialogue trees and pictures in the corner of faces. It's old school RPG, like old school BioWare type RPG. It's just really strange. Other thing that I found really weird is the transitions between environments. They load up like a pen and paper. So Shadowrun is based on this pen and paper RPG from like the 80s. So all these transitions, there'll be like a loading screen that tells you what's going on next in the story and setting up the environment you're at, and it gives like a very detailed explanation, like your dungeon master would be reading this to you as you're going into this area.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a different aesthetic, so and it's definitely a different game from everything else that's coming out right now. So, Tony, if you play it, you might want to juice it up to hard, though. That's what I'm hearing. And as I said, like, I've had a couple instances where I died, but for the most part, I'm breezing through combat, not having to make a whole lot of tactical, decisions in what I do.
I feel like one of the things I heard was that it was really uneven. Like, you would go through a lot of, easier areas, and then there'd be one spot where you had to suddenly make tactical decisions.
Yeah, that's where, like, the parts where I died, it was like I kind of... This goes with any game. You get into a situation where you are doing the same thing over and over again, and that becomes your strategy, and then you'll come across this new one, and that strategy doesn't work anymore. And so, like, your first time through, you die. And then everything goes back to working with that original strategy. So, yeah, it's a little uneven in that regard, but I heard... juicing it up to hard for those regular runs will make the game a little more challenging. But yeah, so that's Shadowrun.
Alright, I'm waiting for the Steam fall sale. Be all over that.
Should be on there, I would think. Fozzie, Tony, you guys been playing anything?
I played a little bit more of Endless Space. That game is just fucking hard, man. Like, I've played 4X games. I understand the concept of it. Maybe I'm playing it wrong. Like, I'm waiting too long. I'm not building up my armies in time. But, like, I'm playing on the lowest setting. I probably just need to play the tutorial, but I'm getting, like, my ass handed to me. I can't, because you have to build your own ships and construct them. So maybe I'm not doing the right, like, type of ship or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think one of the props with that game is the research it's not clear what you're supposed to be researching, and there's no like civilopedia like you get in a Civ game where you're like, okay, I want to build this really big thing. How do I do that? There's like no way of querying that. So it's really tough to figure out what you need to research to get a big enough ship and how you get the weapons. And
yeah, because it's not like you think there'd be a tree for military stuff only, and there is kind of like that, but it's more of like a skill tree to just upgrade your ships. But your ships are in a different skill tree, which is really weird.
Yeah, so the ships are under the planet colonizing one.
Yeah.
Because apparently the technology is similar. I don't know.
It's a cool game. There's still like a couple things I don't really like about it, but like it's awesome because I love space games and it's like kind of right up my alley. But at the same time, if I'm like not just destroying everyone on easy, like how's it going to be later on? So, but yeah, it's cool. Besides that, not really been playing much, haven't had much time, so.
Cool.
I've been tossing myself into Dragon Age Origins. I bet I played about 10 hours of that in the past week. It's really the only thing I've had time to play. Or not had time to play. It's the only thing I've made time to play. But just preparing my body for EU4 next week, that's pretty much all it is. I don't want to get too involved in anything
else. Lordy mercy.
And avoiding Bioshock Infinite. Sorry, Jeff.
This is like when Hefe didn't play XCOM.
Yeah, well, but like Tony wanted to play Bioshock, right? Like,
I do, and I have it. It's just, you know.
That's so wrong.
You better hurry up, because like this gap of like summer drain, like
it's grid. Like time is up, and I have a bunch of games I need to play for review for the rest of the month. So yeah, I better play that. You know, sooner rather than later.
Like, have you tried it at all?
What do you mean? I played like, I'm like an hour and a half in. Although I feel like it's been so long since I played it that I probably should start over.
That first hour is like the best part of the game. I thought.
You're not sawing me there then, because the
that's why I'm surprised that like you played that first hour and you weren't like, oh my god, I gotta experience everything this has to show.
Well, there was this part where I was shooting at enemies and I felt like I was holding a garden hose and wasn't killing everybody.
How dare you?
And I'm like, oh, so the shooting is soft and it's just story. Well, I can play games where I actually have my own narrative.
You smoke weed, Tony, and watch that first hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I should do. I just download the whole game on YouTube and pretend like I played it. Watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Come into Game of the Year discussion with that.
Well, the gameplay is not anything to write home to. I don't know. It was alright.
This is the problem. And if the gameplay is not great, and I have other games that I can play where I think the gameplay is great, then I'm going to play those first.
Also, it's a, what was I going to say? Like, it's got like one of those parts where like the gameplay isn't too difficult, and then there's like three or four parts that are just balls hard. Stupid hard. And then it's like totally takes you out of it. So, I don't know.
I will play it, Jeff, though. I will play it prior to Game of the Year. Even though you didn't play
it. Play it proper? Right? Yeah, you play it proper?
Proper?
Like, you're gonna, like, get to the end? All right.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a requirement. Whoa. Plus, if I don't play it by then you can play it for me, so.
Yeah. To me, it's still in the running. I don't know if it'd be, I mean, my number one probably wouldn't surprise Chris, but, or Tony. But my number one is not it right now.
I could seriously come up, like, looking at the games coming out for the rest of the year. I bet my top five is completely different from any of your guys' top fives.
Mine is constantly changing.
Yeah, well, I... Yeah.
I will say I got through the first half of this year thinking that I might have not played a single game that would be in my top five yet.
Well, you're playing the wrong games. You're not playing Bioshock. You're not playing
Pikmin. I played Bioshock, though. I just didn't play all the way through it.
And honestly, dude, Tomb Raider could be a dark horse, because I still really liked it.
Tomb Raider's still on my high end of my list, so.
Yeah.
It is. It's on mine, too, but I don't expect it to stay there.
Well, I mean, you hope that the game's coming out. Hope the new game's coming out. It'd be great, right?
Have a new game plus?
Tomb Raider? I don't know.
It does not. But you can keep
back.
Playing after you finish.
Yeah, you can go back and get to the tombs you didn't get.
Oh, right.
You can play the stellar multiplayer.
Is it shitty?
I tried like one match. It was like alright.
I didn't even try it. I bet no one's playing too.
You know what I have played is The Last of Us multiplayer, and that shit is actually a lot of fun.
It's really good, right? It's like surprisingly good. Yeah.
It's like, it was just like, I don't know who I talked to about it, but it's pretty much like, there's these games that have no business having multiplayer, like Mass Effect 3, and they shock the fuck out of you. It's really good.
Yeah, that's one that it didn't need it. It was such a long game and
it's a single player game. Through and through, but like, the multiplayer, when you play it with friends, is so much fun. Especially like, the one kill, like, Counter-Strike type.
Yeah, I think if you have that game, you're doing yourself a disservice by not trying it, cause like, you might get, like, I thought it was great, I suck at multiplayer, so I was like, alright, it's really good, like, I can tell it's good, but I'm gonna...
Well, yeah, and the cool thing is that, it's kinda like Battlefield, where you can be a medic, and like, just be a support.
You can revive Fozzy right in front of the machine gun repeatedly.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I've done that.
So, yeah, you could totally be a support class if you want to, and that's totally viable. So it's nice.
Cool.
But, yeah.
I'd just like to announce that this beer is delicious.
What beer is that?
This is Hoppy Feet by Clown Shoes Brewery.
Is there a penguin on it?
No, but there's a guy wearing clown shoes on the bottle. It's a black IPA. It's delicious.
Never heard of it. Sounds made up.
It's not. I tweeted about it. You can go look it up. It's awesome.
All right.
We got any news?
Delicious. We have news. Oh yes, we have news.
What do we got?
News.
That's right. Let's see. We have Nintendo announced this week that they are still selling every Wii U at a loss.
Yay them.
So the Wii U was the first console that Nintendo ever launched where they were selling it a loss, and apparently since they're still selling at a loss, there's no talk at Nintendo internally about dropping the price this fall.
So and on some level you can understand why, right? Like, they actually have games coming this fall.
Right.
So I mean, if you can tag people to pay $350 for it or $300 for it or whatever the hell it costs, when you have games coming for it, you don't have to drop price. But
you got to get for the other consoles coming out.
Right. Well, I mean, like, in theory, if you have games coming out, you shouldn't have to drop the price because people will buy it because they want to play those games. You also have two brand new consoles coming out, though. If Nintendo's losing money on every console, though, like, Microsoft and Sony have to be selling at a loss, too.
Oh, right? God, yeah. Yes. I imagine like the loss is worse than Nintendo's, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think theirs is partially mitigated by the fact that they have significant amounts of hardware coming out, or, I'm sorry, software coming out.
Right, right.
Whereas Nintendo hasn't sold hardly any, so.
Yeah,
I mean, and gotta figure with the lack of third-party games in the Nintendo console, I mean, those are big money makers for console sellers. Cause they make money on every one of those games sold and don't have to pay for any of the development.
Right, they make the licensing fees on it, so.
Right, so.
And plus, some people will buy an Xbox to play a set.
That's just it. Microsoft looking at those games where, the Assassin's Creeds, the Call of Duties, the Battlefields are like, oh, someone else is going to make these awesome games for us. Look at all the money we can make.
Yeah, Sony and Microsoft are going to rake in all the licensing fees on that.
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendo's just going, oh, we have a game coming out this month.
They did show off at a Nintendo Direct, I believe today, 18 indie Nintendo games.
Doesn't even make any sense.
Right. I have no idea.
If they're coming from Nintendo, how are they indie?
Well, Nintendo is publishing them, but they're
indie titles that, right. Like, so basically the Xbox model of the 360 model where it was Microsoft would publish this, it's actually independently developed though.
Correct.
Weird.
So.
I didn't watch the Nintendo Direct, but I did read the press release that came out afterward, and one thing really stuck out at me is, like, what the fuck is wrong? Nintendo has this property where they have 659 Pokemon, and they announce a near-field communications game, like Skylanders or Disney Infinity, called Pokemon Rumble U. And you don't need the toys to play the game.
And it's digital, which...
Right. You don't need, like, that's actually a really smart move. Make it cheap. Although there's probably some sort of disc-based version, too. So,
it should be both. It should be both.
But really cheap. Make it cheap so everybody wants to buy it. And then you can sell these fucking toys... For, you know, they're selling them cheaper than Skylanders, from what I understand. They're going to be like $3 or $4 a piece. But they're only selling like 18 of them. And you don't need them to play the game.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I mean, it's weird.
They totally could have taken that concept of, you know, the Skylanders, the Disney Infinity, where, you know, you collect the pieces and that enhances the way you play by giving you a new character to play in the game, but instead they fucked it up. It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's like they looked at that model and they're like, how do we do this wrong?
Right.
How do we do this and not make money? Fuck. Because, like, that was like, I thought of that before, like, Nintendo did, probably, Disney was like thought of copying it. I was like, you do that. People love Pokemon. Like,
Right, like the Pokemon cards still sell.
Yeah.
So you obviously have people that buy that shit, and I mean, it's one of your top selling franchises year after year. Why wouldn't you, if that this is the type of game you're going to make for it, why wouldn't you do it so that you could just make buckets of money off of your fans because they're willing to give it to you for stupid Pokemon toys? But you fuck it up.
Weird.
Yeah. What else we got in news?
There is a company in Russia called 1C, which is the publisher over there that basically distributes a lot of games that normally get distributed by other companies in the United States.
Okay.
They have announced this week that they are suspending sales of Company of Heroes 2 because of the way the game portrays the Soviet Union in the war.
What?
So basically, because the game shows, like, commissars shooting Russian soldiers who are...
Which actually happened.
Right, which did happen to an extent. The game does exaggerate it a bit.
As games are wont to do.
As games do, because, you know, games are dramatic and you have to watch the story and, you know, that kind of stuff that happens. I find it interesting that they're doing it now, though, after the game has been out for 2 months and gone through most of its sales curve. So
right.
The people who are going to buy the game have bought it already. They're like, oh, now we're offended and we're not selling the game anymore.
We didn't know.
We didn't, yeah, right. As if this wasn't on all of the promo materials that that Relic had tossed out before launching this game. But they were talking all about how it was a unique experience playing as the Russians because they would shoot their own guys and whatever. I just think it's funny that they do it now. After they've already made their money.
Yeah, because nobody's buying it now, so.
And now, when they bring it back after Relic apologizes or whatever Relic needs to do to make it, people will buy the game because now it's gotten, like, free advertising.
So, speaking of Steam sales, which we did originally, and Company of Heroes 2, what would you say is a fair price for Company of Heroes 2 if I'm going to wait for the Steam sale?
If you're waiting for the Steam sale?
In November.
I think the game itself is less of a sequel than it is an expansion pack. If you're not there for the multiplayer, which I don't think you would be.
No, I just want to play through it. There's only 10 missions too, right?
There's only 10 missions. It'll probably only take you 6 or 7 hours to get through all of them.
Okay.
I would probably say maybe $10.
Okay.
That's probably as high as I would go.
Keep my eye on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good game, but not... The campaign is pretty average as far as RTS campaigns go.
I will keep that in mind.
Yes.
Fozzie, did you get that game?
What game?
Company Heroes 2?
No. Looks cool, but no, I did not get it. How much is it now, like, running for?
It's 60.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
It's pretty much where I was at.
$60.
I would, there's no way that game is worth $60. Even if, the only way it is worth $60 is if you were, like, a hardcore multiplayer, and you had to get this game for the multiplayer upgrade. Even then, I mean, the multiplayer is nice, but it includes a whole bunch of, like, really grindy stuff in it that you need to do for XP and for, like, upgrading your units in order to compete. That it's just really annoying to do.
Hmm.
So.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's an average game. It's not a $60 game. That's the other thing, is that most of the time PC games launch at $50. I don't know what they're doing launching this one at 60.
Some of them do. It's like Bioshock was at 60.
Right.
But there was something else that was recently.
Call of Duty probably.
Yeah, Call of Duty at 60. Batman I just saw is going to be 50.
Wait, what?
Batman, the new Batman game, Arkham Origins. It's pre-ordering. It's gonna be $50 on PC.
Yeah. Which so most of the time, Jeff.
That happens. Yeah.
You get your
$10 stuff. And I saw XCOM is, I believe, $50. Yeah, because they're you can buy it right now for you can pre-order it for $44.99 because they're doing a 10% pre-order bonus on it. So
nice.
$10. I'll be waiting around for that one.
$10. That's the number I'm throwing on it. $10.
Yeah, I'm saying like 15 is when. That sounds more like my type.
See, the problem is if you're going like 15, like there's gonna be a bunch of games that come out during a Steam sale that are $10 or less that are awesome, like absolutely fantastic games. And it's tough to like look at a game that's even priced down to $15 and get it.
I mean, again, I'm not like that into it. I'm just saying like 15, I'd be like content if I had to pay 15 for it. But I probably wouldn't.
The other thing is it is so similar to the original Company of Heroes, which has two or three, I can't remember, awesome expansion packs. And they're basically the same game. So, I mean, if you haven't played through that, you should definitely play through that first.
I wonder how much the... I was under the impression that game was pretty much done when THQ kind of went down. But I wonder how much of that actually affected development on that. If they were planning maybe on a longer campaign, but
right.
As THQ was like, hey, we gotta get some shit out so we can make some money.
Right.
You're done with that game, and maybe they didn't run it as hard, and then shit went down, they broke up, and Sega that bought them?
Yes.
Sega.
Yeah.
They're under the Creative Assembly umbrella now.
Right. So Sega picked them up, but at that point, like, they had kind of already feature locked everything and weren't going to add in new levels or whatever, so it's a shame, like, that happened.
Yeah, you do wonder, because there are a lot of levels in that single player that are, they just seem kind of phoned in, like, nothing you've never seen in an RTS game before.
Right.
And so many features added in the game that only get used once. That you're like, oh look, this awesome, if my guys stand outside too long, they die in the winter cold thing, and it only appears in one mission. And you're just like, but you advertise this so much, like where do I get to actually use this? And you only get to use it that one time.
What else we got for news?
The last thing I had was some news around John Carmack of Doom fame from id Technology is being hired by Oculus Rift full time as their CTO, their chief technology officer.
He doesn't work for id anymore?
This is where the story gets a little murky, because Bethesda Softworks, publisher that owns id,
right.
Claims that he's still working for them. So it's not, the relationship is not clear. What is clear is that the CTO position with Oculus is a full-time position, so he may just be doing a little bit of consulting with id, which makes you wonder if id is fundamentally dead now. With him gone.
What about Doom 4?
What about Doom 4? Doom 4's already been, like, scrapped and restarted at once. So you wonder where it actually is. The other thing is id hasn't released a hit in a long time.
That's very true.
You
can buy Rage for, like, fucking less than $10.
Right, well, I got Rage for $19.99, like,
Shortly after it came out. I liked Rage. I didn't think it was bad, but it was definitely, it was an id shooter.
Right.
Yeah.
It was not popular.
No. And it has an awful, awful ending. The game just stops.
Right.
Like, it's like, there should be more, and it just ends. Well, it's a really weird ending. Like, you go through this kind of pretty long campaign for a shooter. And it's an open world, half of it's that vehicular, base shit. And the rest of it is kind of like classic id corridor shooting. And you come up and the story's starting to get pretty cool. You're in this like cool environment where you're, underground in a subway tunnel area, and then it just stops. Like, there's a mission, it's like, that's it, game over.
I have one piece of news.
Yeah?
I went to go out and take a pee just now. Okay. And
this is gonna be
like,
great news.
It's pretty funny. I thought it was funny. I got to the house, because I'm in the garage, and I was like, I don't want to walk all the way up the stairs and like all that.
So you just peed at the bottom of the stairs?
Yeah, but like, so I went to
Jeff's
going to
be homeless in a week.
I went to go pee along the side of the house, and then like I'm standing there pissing, and I realized like right where I was pissing was right in front of the guy who lives in the basement's window. And his window was like wide open, lights are on and shit, so he probably totally saw me just standing there pissing in front of us.
What's up? I just moved in.
How's that apartment hunt going, Jeff?
When I was in the middle of doing it, I just like stepped a couple feet to the left.
He was like, oh.
The shuffle over.
Nothing
a bit.
To see here.
Yeah. Whoops. Sorry.
I just wanted to show you my massive dick. It's right here.
Alright, well, let's do some questions.
Wait, no questions yet.
Okay.
Fozzie.
Nope.
Hypothetical. Did anyone warn Fozzie he needed to do a hypothetical?
No.
Alright, let's hear it, Fozzie.
Wait, right now?
Seems like a good time.
Let's give him one time. Or if he has one.
Oh, I've got one. Brewing.
Like a fine ale.
Nice.
Let's see.
Or soy sauce. Probably more like soy sauce.
Let's say hypothetically. Okay. You had to have sex. With.
I like where this is going.
A good looking chick for a year, as much as you want. Where you can have sex every year until you die on your birthday. What would you choose?
And after this year, you never get to have sex again, is that?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't add that stipulation. You said good looking, did you never have sex with her again, or never get to have sex ever?
No, ever.
That's not fair.
If it's 1 year of like great sex with this hot, I have to go with I'll take the yearly because I'll at least be able to experience it over the course of some time.
Right.
That year's gone, and then when I'm 50, I'm like, I don't remember what happened.
Right.
Wait.
It just doesn't work anymore. I don't understand what happened.
Right.
To me.
Here's the thing you have to consider. That 1 year with that hot chick.
Jeff has videotaped
it all. Well, yeah, think of all, it's all spank fake. Your mind will videotape, but you got spank fake material fucking everywhere. You fucker in every part of your house.
Died in like 2 years and you only had sex twice since then.
I think that's the risk you gotta take though. I mean.
That's a big risk.
It is. I'll take that risk, like unless like I'm diagnosed with cancer right before I have to.
Maybe during your 1 year you have like a heart attack from all that sex and
right.
You saved your life right there. What about that? That's a possibility.
What if it's good for your heart exercise?
I mean, I guess there's that as well.
Sexercise.
In shape.
All that. Sexercise.
So Jeff, you're taking the 1 year.
I don't think I do, but like you, it has to be like I wouldn't just flippantly just be like, yeah, I'll at least get to have sex once a year, because like, dude, there's a lot of fucking you could do in 1 year with a hot chick, a lot of fucking, lifetime.
Yeah,
not a lifetime.
Now, what can you do in that 1 day though? Because can you do whatever you want for that like entire day? Or is it just like one day once and you're done? You're like, oh.
Yeah, he's built up
like,
a year of sexual
one day was like the best sex you could imagine. Like,
alright, yeah, you can do as much as you want that one day, but that's it.
I'm going the yearly then. Yeah, I'm taking yearly.
Okay, so if it was once though, you would go with the year?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll survive. I got other things
to do. So you're going yearly?
I'm going yearly.
Alright.
There we go.
Yeah, now you know.
Alright, questions. I got some in the feed.
I'll ask for some.
Let's see, Justin asks, what's your favorite moment when recording the show?
Drinking.
I agree.
Like ever? Like our single solid player moment?
He didn't clarify, so. However,
I remember there was one episode where Jeff ended up having to skip out right before we were going to record, and he wouldn't tell us why. And we were like making up reasons why he wasn't recording.
I think I remember that.
Getting laid.
we were like, what's his name?
Have you been on every single episode? Or have
oh,
you
God,
missed?
No. I think we've all missed
episodes. Yeah, we've all missed.
All right.
I know the one you're talking about, and the reason I had to skip out is because my ex decided to come over, and I was just going to... And I did have fun. It was quite fun. My favorite moment... Maybe it's a little recent, but my favorite moment is boing, boing, boing. And that Shanti was just getting hammered every 6 minutes.
Dude.
That was a great episode.
We'll do that again one of these days. That was stupid.
Pre-Thanksgiving.
Every 6 minutes or every 10 minutes?
I think it was every six, dude.
Yeah, it actually towards the end, Jeff was actually letting it go a little bit longer.
Yeah, I remember that, and I remember yelling at Jeff because I was like, I could fucking do it. I remember getting very drunk and shaving my eyebrow.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, that was awesome.
I just remember the pictures of the
yeah, I know.
Like, I can't believe you let them do that, dude. How long did that take to grow back, dude?
It took a while, because mine are pretty bushy and thick, so, I mean, it didn't grow back, like, fully for, like, a couple months, but, you know, after...
God, my eyebrow's gone!
Yeah. But after,
my eyebrow
like,
hair doesn't, like, really grow.
Well, yeah, because you can barely grow a fucking beard, let alone, like, anything else, so...
Yeah.
And you've got light hair,
I think,
so.
I don't think I could grow a beard.
Like that's the thing. Like my friend when he shaved his eyebrow, he's already got like no eyebrow whatsoever. So, mine it looks fucking, you know, it's pretty noticeable if I don't have an eyebrow because my eyebrows are very pronounced, if you will.
I think I'm pronounced enough where if I lost it and. Well,
you'd be like, whoa, you don't have an eyebrow. But, like, some people don't have to wait as long as, like, I did, for example.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't have a job at that moment, at that time.
But, yeah,
funny shit. That would have been awkward.
I got a few. Like, I think that the first Game of the Year episode we did was really a lot of fun. But... probably the best was when all of us were in the same room in Boston, and Javi was there, Brian was there, and Javi was bombed. And
that
he
was
just
pretty great.
And
did we actually get an episode out of that? Like,
there is an episode up of that. Javi's mic, we just pulled it out.
I just pulled out his microphone. Yeah. He had no idea. He kept, just kept
and
going.
He had new. Yeah,
he just kept
talking. My buddies here were asking me about this today, like, what is this all about? And I was like, talking about it. And I even told them, like, yeah, we actually did one show when we were all in the same room. We actually had video of it too, like some video of it. But yeah, that's definitely a top memory for sure.
That was a lot of fun.
That was good times.
There was another one where Javi was on, it was, I think it was one of the early Thanksgiving episodes where he was also trashed and he was just yelling at us for some reason.
Oh yeah. Javi is like, he's a two-beard queer. If that's a PC term now, but, yeah, he's, you know, he drinks, if you go party with him, he'll drink like half a beer and he'll already be tipsy. So, it doesn't take much for him to get drunk.
I wish I could do that. Shit.
I know, right? No matter what he does, like, it doesn't matter how much he drinks, he always just drinks something like really, he just has one or two and he's like already there.
Another great moment I loved was we had Trucker Sean on. I always love when we had Trucker Sean on. But he, everything we're talking about, he kept going back to Two Worlds 2.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about? Two Worlds 2?
Yeah.
And he was like so, I think he went on about that game for like, we let him go for like 20 minutes about how great it was.
That game sucked.
It was pretty bad.
Like, no, he was, you gotta wait 10 hours before it gets good or something. I'm like, I am not going to put 10 hours into fucking Two Worlds 2 to see if it gets...
Go blind looking at the ugly graphics for that.
Jesus.
The graphics and, like, loading times really bad. I don't know, there's something like, there's a lot wrong with that game, so.
Anything. He was adamant about it and he sent me a copy and I was like, I tried. I gave it like 5 hours.
That was when Sean was in the, like, if he liked something, He was the biggest advocate for it. Like, he would buy it for everybody, because you had to try it.
Yep. No, yeah, he actually did that, like, twice for me.
Two Worlds 2 was up there for him. I think that was his game of the year, or game of the ever. He just bought it again. I saw that he bought it on Steam. Recently, he bought it during the Steam sale.
Great. I guess it hasn't gotten any uglier.
I don't think it can, right? I know that they released some sort of crazy expansion pack for it, though, and I bet with pirates. Pirates make everything better. Some of the best stuff, though, actually happens not on the show. Like, it doesn't make it into the show. Like, a lot
before we start recording.
I still think you should do an episode of us talking, like, because you have all the audio probably, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of the raw audio, so.
But you'd have to, like, sift through it, go back and shit, though. You could find some shit, I'm sure, that's just, I always tell you guys, like, a funny story usually before the show.
Right.
So, yeah, oh, man. You're right, like, or after the show, too, we'd be like,
when we were first doing it, we recorded on Thursday nights, and I didn't have to work Fridays, and,
Oh, is that why?
No, it wasn't why. We released on Fridays, but I don't think that was why we recorded on Thursdays. Oh. That was just the day that worked, I think.
Yeah.
But there were days when, like, that was when we were all, not all, Tony was never really into it, but, like, you and Jeff definitely were into Tiny Chat at the time. And we would end up on Tiny Chat till like 6 a.m. I remember one night we finished recording the show and we went in at like an after hours club and I was trashed and I woke up to $150 in iTunes charges.
Yeah,
I bought all this shit. I was like, so give me music to get.
Jesus. Yeah, you would always wear your fucking Miami hat too. I remember that.
So yeah.
Those are
some of our favorite moments, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Also, a smoothie for the Pope.
Yeah. That was a good one. Alright, Justin asks, who was one of your favorite guest hosts? Was it me? Congrats on 3 years.
Wait, he was on this show?
He was once.
Who was? I don't know. That's I don't want to like name names. That's not what I'm about. So I'm not a name namer.
I like Trucker Sean, man. I just like he has a good chemistry with us, and like that dude, his voice is just sexy. So
Sean has a great radio voice. I don't know. It's like I think everybody we've ever had on the show brought something to it.
Oh like, yeah, I've like I everyone. Mean,
we've had. Daxter brought like 7-hour episodes, and you know we had Movie Guru on. He brought some interesting conversations, and
it's the worst.
Well, we do like Josh Fuzzy.
Oh, we like him.
Alright, well, Fozzie doesn't like you, Josh, but...
I like Josh, we're good buds. Dude, we work for the same company, so...
I do miss your beard, though. That was a,
He had quite the beard.
Yeah. That was something special there. I don't know, I mean, we've had Don on, we've had Kyle, we've tons of people on. Like, it's hard to even remember all the fuckers we had on.
We had like 12 people on in one episode once. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
The E3 one, remember?
Yeah.
Like different people every half hour, we repeat the same shit.
Yeah, oh shit, we did. We had that was a ton of people from that.
We had people on there, I didn't even know, like you knew one girl from, I think, Hooked Gamers?
Yeah. Yeah, Stephanie, she actually now writes for one of the bigger sites.
Nice.
Gets paid to do it, so.
Damn.
Yeah, right?
Y'all missed the boat on that one.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I don't think I want to be on that boat. Can I be honest? I like the boat that I'm on a lot better.
My boat's all right, I guess.
Yeah. I see all these people... and most of them are like young, right out of college, or like just people who like games and don't have a job. And like, I really want to be a games writer. I have no urge to do that to myself.
I used to be in that boat, but then I started to realize like they don't get paid that much. Like I would do it. I'd still do it. I would enjoy it, but I don't have a desire where I'm like, oh, that's what I want.
Right. It's either an entry level job into like getting those relationships that you need to move into the games industry proper, or I mean, if you want to be like the permanent man baby type and like be an obsessed games writer forever, I guess that's fine. But I would never feel satisfied with what came out of my life, like in terms of. I was a games writer. Like I don't want to like at the age of 50 look back and say, oh, I spent all that time writing about video games. What did I actually do? And the answer was nothing.
I didn't look at it that way, but it's a
great hobby. I love games. I love writing about games. I love talking about games. I don't want to do it for a living.
It's an unstable. Like career, there's not a lot of stability. People get laid off all the time. People who are very talented. So it's like, you know, even if I had 1/10 of that talent, I'd probably be screwed. So
that's why we started our own site. Fuck them all.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll just do it ourselves.
You're critically sane, brah.
That's right,
brah.
All right. Josh asks. You know, the one Fozzie hates.
Yes.
What would you do with the money if you won the Powerball?
I would not tell anyone I won the Powerball.
I would disappear. Never from me again. Sorry, guys.
I don't think I'd be able to resist, like, being like, yo, I'm rich, bitch. But, I was actually talking about that earlier tonight with somebody, like, because, like, so many people who are rich, like, end up broke because they buy, like, a $15 million house. They're like, oh, wait, I have to pay taxes on that? You know?
Right.
I just buy a nice house. That's about it.
Yeah, we talked about this at work today. It was like, buy a house, like a slightly bigger house. And then like maybe a new car, and that's it. Put money away for the kids to go to school.
Yeah.
And, you know,
live.
Run
that's
the fucking
live.
Website from my computer, which I do now. So.
I'd still get, like, even if I was that rich, like, I'd get just a part-time job just to keep me, like, on my toes.
Right.
Because it's still like more shit, you know?
I would do a lot more writing. I'd get back into writing.
Yeah, I would, yeah. I guess, yeah, you could do something like that, or I would just, like, I'd be like an ice cream server at a fucking parlor. That's it. I'm just buying my own ice cream store. And I'm just like, how many fucking scoops of ice cream do you want?
I would probably open a little business to either like a video game store or a bar and run it.
Or a gaming bar, just mix those two together, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, remember we talked about that. Like, I would do that and then not worry how it worked out, really, because if it goes wrong, all right, whatever.
Fine, if you have $248 million, like, as long as you can afford the rent each month, like,
right.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can snag 40 mil from Powerball, oh my lord.
If you can't spend the rest of your life living off of that, you have issues.
Right.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Seriously.
Well, that's the thing, though, is, like, they'll buy a boat for, like, 5 million, and then...
Yeah,
like,
they get stupid.
Yeah, they'll get really dumb with it, so, like, that's the thing.
I might buy a boat. I would just buy one that's slightly bigger than my friend's boat.
Buy a lot.
And then park it next to his.
Right.
My boat's newer than yours and bigger.
Suck it.
Also, I have no idea how to fucking drive this thing.
Well, you get someone to drive it, yo.
But that's extra money. You should just learn.
Boat chauffeur.
A boat chauffeur.
Boat fur.
Alright, I got one more, and then I guess we got some from Don.
I think you skipped one from Justin.
I'm about to read the one from Justin. He wants us to provide an origin story on how the podcast came together and how we all met, because he started in on the show late.
Oh.
I can't explain that, guys.
Yeah, go ahead. No, well, Fozzie can actually do it because he's actually the catalyst here.
Well, yeah, kind of. Well, first off, how we all met was through IGN.
Right, so, yeah, through the old blog.
Yeah, we're all bloggers. Point, yeah.
I think we're just starting out Twitter at this point. Like, we're all kind of just getting into Twitter because this was 2010. So, I mean, we've been on there for like a year now. So I guess we've known each other for a good amount of time, but we first met from IGN. And then I remember because, you know, I still wanted to do some podcasting, and I was kind of just like, I was on the Teabag Radio actually for a good minute, like, you know, for at least 5 or 6 episodes, but I wasn't really like a part of that show. So I noticed that Chris had a podcast called The Perfectly Sane Show, and I also noticed that he hadn't done it in months. I think it was like it had been a while.
Yeah,
I think you had me as a guest host on one like your last like real episodes.
Possibly.
We talked about Final Fantasy.
Maybe. But yeah, but regardless, it had been a while, and I know that you were doing it with like your buddies from back home too. So I was like, threw it out there. And I was like, you know, would you like to do a podcast, you know, with me, and then. I think at that point, me and Napo were doing some sort of podcast beforehand, right?
I don't even remember now. It was...
We did the podcast, but we only did like 2 or 3 shows.
Well, I know I was on, what's the Noobketeers with you for a couple times.
Right, but this was...
There was something else. There was definitely something else.
Weren't you guys getting ready to do like a sports show or something?
Well, that was a
later.
Okay.
But yeah, I was with Napo, so I had built up a pretty good repertoire with him. And then like, I kind of threw Hefe's name into the pot, you know, because I think that Hefe was a pretty good friend of Chris at that time. So I was like,
they hate
each other now, but at that point they were
friends. Exactly, they were best buds. So I was like, yeah, let's and then kind of like we kind of just started thinking about it and it worked out. So we got all 4 of us because, like I said, I brought Napo in from the Air podcast that we were like kind of semi-serious about, and then we kind of threw Hefe in there because I always enjoyed Hefe's shenanigans and the things he does, and So I thought also Hefe, because I wanted to have two, I wouldn't say serious guys, but at least maybe like Napo and Chris would be like kind of the people that would kind of like
the straight guys.
Yeah, they would tame me and Hefe, who are kind of a little more outlandish. So I thought as far as like a podcast, that would work pretty well. So, and that's kind of what my thinking, and that's why I came up to Chris. Long story short, we started, what, August, I guess? Because, yeah, it's our 3 year. So.
August 5th, right?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
And the rest is history, so.
Yep.
Yeah, I still remember Chris. I remember Chris, like, contacted me about, I don't know if it was on AIM or what.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Back
you're
then.
Just like, oh, you're like, I'm going to restart my Perfectly Sane show, but, like, we want to do it with, like, you know, IGN blogger people. And I was all for it, because I was actually doing Game Seers with Ryan and Aaron.
Oh, okay, right.
And
and that's starting to go poorly because they don't play games anymore.
Well, at that point, I kind of, I'll give you my thoughts on that. But I thought that it was a flawed show for sure. I enjoyed doing it, but, you know, let's do it right. And I feel like if you guys ever could, Game Seers probably still out there, go listen to one and be like, oh my god. So, but yeah.
Yeah,
that's the history of it.
That's how we got this going. So
there you go.
Don asks Jeff.
Oh.
You kind of talked about this a little bit already, but you hyped the shit out of Pikmin 3. Did it live up to your high expectations?
Generally, yeah, I got what I thought we can get out of it. Just, you know, there's like little issues with the game, but it didn't hold it back. Like, I love that series, and I think this is probably the best one besides a few little technical issues. So, yeah, it's buy it.
All right. He also has another one that came in directly to the show. Does it feel any different after 3 years of doing it every week?
No.
Yeah,
I think it feels more natural now. I think, like,
yeah.
In the beginning, like, there were, like, uncomfortable pauses, which I'm sure you had to, like, edit out. And now I think we know each other well enough where we understand when somebody's done talking and, like, kind of, like, fill in the gaps and just move on. And
whenever Napo will talk, and then, like, I just continue on. So I think that's the only thing.
I mean, there's still, you'll still, because you're not in the same room, there'll still be uncomfortable pauses, but, like, I think our banter is continually improving.
It's up quicker, too. Like, when we know there's a little pause, we kind of, like, we're, like, kind of on our toes about it, too. I don't, you know?
Right. It's one thing about recording with the same people every week. Like, you know, some podcasts, they have a rotating selection of, you know, hosts, and if you're not talking with the same people all the time, like, it's hard to get into that rhythm of actually having a conversation with them.
Yeah, we all know each other really well at this point, so I feel like the banter between us always kind of gets better. Like, it sounds more and more like we've known each other for years because we've known each other for years.
right. Which is what I think people like about the show is that it does feel natural. It's like yeah, four dudes sitting around drinking beer and bullshitting about games.
Yeah. Also, we don't have the technical issues we had before.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we're not like, oh, half the recording is gone. What happened?
Wow. Yeah, that's...
We've like all fallen into our places.
Some of those technical issues just came from trying to use cheap, free recording software. Like, it's amazing what happens when you pay a few dollars to get something to work properly. Like,
sure.
Yeah, less technical issues that way. I mean, there's always you know, potentially something happens, computers freeze, weird shit happens, but
right,
less of that now. I don't think we've lost. Well, I mean, we actually lost full episodes before where we had to come back like the next day
and record again.
And, yeah, and record again, and it's like, well, this is weird. We already talked about this shit.
Yeah.
All right, Fozzie, Jeff, hit your fees.
I've got questions. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I gotta go pee.
All right, I'll go first then. Okay, so Gigawatt Conduit writes, "What's the best drink you yourself have made? What's the drunkest you've gotten?"
Those are two different questions.
Well, yeah, it's a two-part question. So I don't, like, oh my god, I remember this one time, and it was recently, I made the perfect pina colada, like fucking restaurant quality pina colada. It's not like, you know, it's not the best drink I've ever made, but it was pretty amazing. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. But yeah, best drink I've ever made.
I made a really good mudslide one time.
I don't make like,
so good.
I don't make crazy concoctions though, like.
Right.
You know.
I prefer beer.
Brushes, I guess.
A drink is like opening a bottle.
It's, yeah. I had Dr. Pepper that actually tasted like Dr. Pepper once, and that was amazing because that's 151, Amaretto, and beer, and that can go bad a lot of different ways. But there are ways where it can taste like Dr. Pepper, so. Yeah.
Yeah, oh. I'm not a big, like, maker of drinks.
Yeah.
I'm not a big,
well, we know you hate flavor. You're, like, on record as hating flavor, so.
Well, not hating flavor, I mean.
You hate flavor.
I like flavor. I don't like flavors.
I see.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I don't make a lot of great crazy drinks like Fozzie said. The drunkest I ever got was, it was on my birthday at one point, and I blacked out for hours on end, and when I woke up, there was vomit everywhere. gross too, cause like I had steak the night before, and there were just like chunks of steak like floating around my bedroom. Yeah, that was a long, long time ago though, before I got married, so.
Did I miss a really fun question?
What's the drunkest you ever got?
Hello.
I thought I had that in my feed. Oh no, never mind. Drunkest I ever got. There can't be just one.
Yeah.
Many. But my favorite one from like the last couple of years was actually last July.
Like last
night? I went to a party at my aunt's house for my cousin's like graduation from high school. Like she's like 18. Have I told you guys this story?
Scared.
Alright, I probably told you, but I woke up. Alright, here's what happened. We went to this party, and it's like a family party. But after 9 o'clock rolled around, a lot of the family left, and like a lot of the kids, like the high school kids were still there, and some of like the crazier people in the family were still there. We got fucking drunk. I got forced into taking shots, and that's when everything like kind of went blank. And the next morning I woke up, and I had to go to work. It was a Sunday morning. I had to work. I had to open the store. And I, like, walk out into my living room. And, like, on the living floor, there's, like, a cigarette laying there that was, like, half-smoked. I was like, okay, that's weird. In the kitchen, there was a box of cereal that I had poured on the ground. Like, the whole box of cereal was on the ground or on the floor. And in the bathroom, I had, like, pissed, like, 3 feet away from the toilet. I was like, holy shit, dude. And I was like, how did I get home? And I texted my sister, and I'm like, how did we get home last night? And she texted back, magic carpet ride.
I think I do remember that. I don't know. It's been a while.
I mean, that was like, I mean, you get drunk, and sometimes you forget shit. Like, I have a bad memory when I have, like, you know, one of the six-year in me. Like, I remember fragging shit. But like, I had, it was blank. It was like, I don't, and then, yeah, and then the next day, my cousin, who was like 18 years old, started posting pictures on Facebook. And there's like all these pictures I was tagged in, and I was like, I don't remember taking any of these pictures. At all. And if you go look through my Facebook, you'll find them. You'll know exactly like what I'm talking about when you see them. Like, I look just trash. This is when I had hair briefly. Like, I grew my hair out.
All right. What else we got for questions?
I've got some more. Just a couple more. Let's see here. Do you guys have feeling about MOBAs, and do you think they will make it to the console?
They already have, haven't they? Like
the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, there's the Lord of the Rings one.
A couple.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with MOBA. Like, if you like that, that's cool. Like, that's your, you know, that's whatever you want to do. But it's not.
I don't understand them. I mean, and that's I haven't sat down to play it. I haven't sat down to play one. And that's probably the big reason I don't understand. But I was trying to watch some of the international today. They're streaming it right through Steam. So I clicked on it, and there was a match going on, and like shit's blowing up on the screen, and people are screaming in the crowd, and the announcers are going batshit insane.
Yeah, right.
And I'm just going, I have no fucking idea what I'm looking at. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's very daunting. It's got a huge, like, learning curve. And, like, that's the thing, is, like, at PAX, they have these huge tournaments, and, like, these announcers are just, like, going batshit crazy about, like, these moves. I have no fucking idea what the fuck's going on.
It's almost like if you've ever watched, fighting game commentators.
Sure.
Like, they're going nuts, the crowd's going crazy, and it's like, I don't, like, at least with that, you kind of understand, like, it's, you know, kick and punch, and you can figure that shit out, but, like, this is, like, it looks like StarCraft, and it looks like StarCraft melted with Diablo. It makes no goddamn sense.
I'll let you know from the two games that I've played, so I am an expert. so, like, there's a top, there's a mid, and there's a bottom. On top of that, there's also people that exclusively farm, like, places so they can level up higher. And there's also guys that, like, I think, like, constantly attack or something like that. But the key is that all your attacks have, like, cooldowns besides, like, your basic attack. So the game has a lot of strategy as far as when to use certain moves. There's some moves that even have, like, a 2-minute cooldown. And that's when the people go shit, batshit crazy, is like when they know that, like, you know, you have two guys that have probably like all their moves cooled down and they're about to like face each other. So, it's a lot of cat and mouse trying to like lure the other person in and like just trying to finish them off, you know, so it's a very patient game, but there is a lot of strategy involved. And so, again, that's, from what I've seen, that's kind of how it is, and I can see how people get addicted, because it is only one map, I think, is like, there's only one map, so you pretty much know exactly what you're doing every fight, and you know your role when you have, like, a group of 500 people you play with.
Yeah, so. It seems so daunting to get into.
And it's time-consuming, too.
Like, right, it looks like the games aren't short. Like, this isn't, like, a match of Call of Duty where you go in and, like, 7 minutes, it's over. These are, like, half hour to an hour for each match.
Easily.
And, like, and I've just heard, like, horror stories of people trying to get into it and, like, getting yelled at because you don't understand how to play. You're trying to learn, but you're not helping your team. You're actively yeah. hurting your team, so people get really angry. It's like, I don't know if I want that in my life.
Right, that's just it. You hear so many horror stories about the community and those sort of games. You're like,
okay,
if
yeah.
I'm not in already, then why do I want to do that to myself to get in when I'm already having so many other gaming experiences I already enjoy?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, there's some games, like fighting games, I just can't get into fighting games, and it's like, it's one of those genres that sounds cool, I'm glad people like it, but probably not for me. Although Deep Silver just announced that they are making a Dead Island, what they are calling a Zomba, a zombie online multiplayer battle arena.
Oh lord.
Sounds dumb as fuck, but yeah. So.
Well, you can make anything to a MOBA, honestly. So it doesn't really matter. You can make a fucking Nintendo MOBA where you can play as Mario. I bet that shit would sell too.
Probably.
But I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool because it's a lot of like you have to first destroy their tower. So. It's kind of like almost like a football game where like it's kind of like a little tug and war, and like really good games, you know, it comes down to the wire. But
that's kind of what I think of these as, like football games too. Like when my wife and I first started dating, and she knew absolutely nothing about sports, and we would watch football together. That's kind of how I feel when I watch these.
Yeah, exactly. And that's yeah. Again, you have no idea, but I'm sure if you watched it, like. Seriously, legitimately put, like, watching, like, 10 hours into it, like, you might get into it. You might get involved, and it might be something you want to play. But, again, huge learning curve, and you're right. Like, the community kind of sucks with... Just like with fighting communities. Like, fighting right. communities are shit, too. Like, any competitive gaming community kind of sucks.
Yeah. It's like... I mean, the same could be said about, well, I mean, Call of Duty definitely is like kind of like okay. a toxic one. It's kind of the big poster child. But even Halo, like if you get, you know, if you're not playing with friends and you get paired with the wrong people, like it can be a toxic environment, especially for new players and, or girls or whatever. Right. Like it's just, yeah, any, as you said, any multiplayer competitive arena kind of gets that way.
This is why I like strategy games. The communities are all awesome.
That's because there's 10 of you playing it, so they can't really
This is just it. They're so small that everybody knows every other person. And there's somebody new, people are like, oh, it's somebody new. We should teach them how to play the game.
Right, because you want them to stick around and and learn.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
which gives a completely different feel to the community.
Which is funny. I mean, StarCraft, obviously a huge, massive community, but the way Blizzard set up their tier system is you're not playing against... Like, when you start out playing, you're not playing against, like, these great, great players. Like, you're playing against pretty much people on the same skill level as you, so you're slowly learning how to adapt and, you know, build better strategies to go against them. And as you get better, you play against better people, and you can watch the strategies they do. The strategy games just work better that way because it's, you know, more of a give and take as opposed to something like a MOBA or a first-person shooter. We got any more questions?
I have like one more.
Okay.
Okay, two more. Okay. It's Shark Week. Did you ever watch Street Sharks? And also, favorite shark and why? And that's from Beachy Anna. Oh, sorry, and last one was from Nate Hales. I don't think I mentioned that. So I had to Google Street Sharks.
It's a cartoon, right? It's a cartoon kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Sharks?
Yeah.
Oh, sharks, yes.
Easily probably the best comparison you could take for it. It's half man, half shark.
Right.
People.
I'd never watched it.
You might have been a little bit older. Like, no offense, but sorry, this came out. You must have been 15 or 16 maybe. This was in 96.
Yeah, I was actually that. I was 17, so.
Okay.
You were 40.
Yeah, 17 going on 18. I graduated from high school that year. So I wasn't watching like afternoon.
This was 96, so I was 14. I wasn't watching high school. Heffy and I are the same age, though.
Are we?
We're both 30, right?
I'm 31.
All right. Well, I turned 31 shortly, so.
Your birth?
I thought thought you were younger than me.
Oh. Dude, I have two kids and a master's degree.
Excuse me. Were you born in 82?
I was born in 82, yeah.
Jesus. I thought you were 26.
Dude, we're fucking vintage. Alright, wait, what was the question again?
Okay. Well then maybe this was more towards my age, cause I was around 9 or 10 when this came out. So, yeah, I don't remember it. I mean, I remember watching it. I don't remember, I guess their names were Jab, Street, Slamu, and Ripster.
Wow. Oh my god.
Maybe Ripster.
It was just like a ripoff.
What?
There was like a ripoff of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Like,
yeah, I think so. Yeah. Let's see the premises. It was an American-Canadian TV series about crime-fighting half-man, half-sharks.
It's not the only one either. There was one with, like, was it mice or rats or something like that, where they were on bikes.
Thundercats?
No, not Thundercats. I remember Thundercats. Thundercats was...
Well, that was only two of them, too. And like a whole like people.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it, yeah, there were a couple TMNT ripoffs.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure there was, but anyways, sorry Peachy, I don't remember this. I remember watching it. I don't remember, like these people.
I never. You know what's weird is I never got into Shark Week. I've never seen that show. You know what I was into? I probably not in like 5 years, but like. I really like Discovery Channel used to do Roller Coaster Week too. I forgot what they called it, but like they would just show you different like theme parks or amusement parks and like all the coasters they have. I love that shit. They still do that, do you guys know?
I don't remember seeing it in any. Like, I mean, Shark Week is their big thing every summer.
I know, like. I know, and like I never. I remember one year I kind of got into it because you had to go to, like, Lens Crafters, and they gave you, like, 3D glasses.
Oh, really?
This is back before the HD era, so you, like, on your tube TV, you have old-school 3D glasses. Yeah. And I watched it, and I was like, cool. Like, sharks are cool. But, like, I always loved the Roller Coaster Week way more.
Cool.
Usually in the springtime.
What are your favorite sharks?
Favorite sharks.
That was the other half of
the question. Don't kill me. The ones that let me pet them.
I've always been fascinated by the great white. I know that's like really kind of stereotypical, but
yeah.
I've aggressive sharks like tiger and like the bull. It's fucking awesome.
Bull sharks. Yeah, tiger sharks are interesting.
You don't fuck around with those sharks.
I like poker sharks because I was one.
me too.
I like hammerhead sharks because they're just really fucking weird.
Yeah, they have some weird like physical.
Yeah, I gotta go with that too, Fozzie. I love the hammerhead. It's got a good look to it.
It's cool, and it's got a cool name for it. I like how they're just in like beat around the bush. It looks like a fucking hammer. Let's just call it a hammerhead. That's cool.
What else we got?
One more. When was the last time, not counting this question, that you all saw the word Tumblr, and he spelled it T-U-M-B-L-E-R, spelled correctly?
I guess he's referring to the fact that a lot of people spell Tumblr T-U-M-B-L-R because of the website.
Yeah.
I don't know why the website did that. Weird.
I ordered a Tumblr for our annual convention in June. Suck it.
What?
It was a Tumblr. We needed a Tumblr.
Yeah. I haven't seen it though.
It's also a it's a bar tool, isn't it?
So if you're having like a drawing, you're like giving away something. And you need to put like the entries into something and have somebody like pick something out.
Right, yeah, it's kind of like
Tumblr's a little thing with the crank so you can spin them around and mix it. Yeah,
like a bingo. Bingo dispenser.
Yeah.
I guess that'll be called a bingo Powerball. Tumblr. Powerball Tumblr. I guess.
Well,
They don't. I think they're all air generated at this point. But well, yeah. I don't know when the last time I saw that spelled correctly. Jeff, you got some questions?
Yeah, Don asks, I have to play for review. I have games to play for review, but want to finish the first half of season 5 of Breaking Bad. Is that wrong? I'm pretty sure you guys might be with me on this. Well, maybe you won't be, but just watch Breaking Bad. Get it. Don't play your games for review. Play that.
Oh.
Who cares about work?
I mean, what games are you reviewing?
Skulls, the Shogun.
Does it even matter?
It does. I mean, it depends on, like, I mean...
There's no game that's as good as bad.
I know that Skulls of the Shogun is one of those games, and it's not particularly great, no. So...
Go watch Breaking Bad. Nobody will...
Yeah.
Nobody will be angry.
Yeah, do that. Get it.
Oh, angry.
Tor asks, could you tell your worst story? This is directly to me, I think. He says, can you tell your worst story from your last job, and also how is the new place? I'll start with, like, the new place, because I've only worked there one day today, but from what I can tell, everybody there is really, really, really nice, and I from what I can tell, I like the job so far. It's a little hard, but I like it. And as far as, like, you know, like, my trainer, she told me she just got a new house, like, 40 minutes away. She won't leave this office because of how nice the supervisor and everyone else there is. So there's that.
That's always a good sign.
And it's a big thing with the post office is, like, your experience there could vary with what office you're at. If you're at an office where, like, they're going to follow the higher upper management, like, they have to follow upper management no matter what, but... Like, some of them could be human beings about it, and some of them could be not. So, there's that. Worst story from my last job? Dude, there was a different worst story every day. There would always be something new that they would just try to make you miserable about. There was holidays where it's just a line out the door all day with really angry people who are just upset about life. But there was one funny story I remember where, this is not my worst story, this is like a random one that I thought was funny. There's a family, they were Hispanic, they didn't speak English well, and they wanted to return to the open to a brand new PS3. And I told them they can't do that. They're like, well, our son couldn't figure out how to set it up. And I was like, I'll show you how to set it up, but, you know, I'm not giving you the money back for it, right? It's just not how it works, right?
Right.
And as soon as I did that, the lady with them, like the older lady, like the grandma, you know, she's like probably 30 years older than the mom. She's like, you're just not doing this because we're Mexican and you're racist. And I was like, no, I'm not. She argued with me for like 15 minutes. Like to a point where I'm like shouting back and forth with this lady. So finally I was like, look, I'll give you a new one. And you can figure it out. I'll show you how to figure it out. But that's the end of it. And like she stormed out. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. And, like, the family, the Mexican family is there. They go, we don't know her.
Oh, my God.
She was a Hispanic lady who was in line behind them who just took it upon herself to be, like, you know, crusader. And I'm just like, dude, I'm not really racist. And of course, you all have prejudices. Everyone does. But, like, I don't hate you just because of how you look, whatever. You know, I'm not gonna like. I'm just following policy. You know, like that's it. I'm not gonna take a $300 loss because you don't know how to fucking hook something up. And this lady just went nuts, and she didn't even know them. Like she was just there. So yeah.
That one's pretty good.
It's not the worst. There's probably the worst things, but it's one of the funnier. Like there was one. It's one that sticks out in my mind. I'm like,
who'd that question come in from?
Tora. Let's see. Justin Gigawatt asks, what famous person would you like to get junk with?
Jesus.
That was a tough question.
Lindsay Lohan.
5 16 Jesus. I take Lindsay Lohan. Fuck yeah, dude. Think where that goes. It's gonna go good places. Or,
Mel Gibson. I hear he's a freight drunk.
That was great. Yeah, Steve Zahn I think would be fun.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton would be a good one too.
George W. would be fun.
Yeah, I bet he's a good drinker.
Right. He would drink me under the table, anymore. That would be problematic.
Right. I just lost a drinking contest to a president.
Right. At least Bill Clinton would be polite about it. Like,
right.
W would be like, oh, this guy's going down.
Standing above you crotch shopping.
What about Joe Biden?
Joe Biden.
You don't think he'd be fun to drink with? I think it'd be fun.
Oh, he'd be great.
Yeah. I had to pick one, though. It'd be Lindsay Lohan, because, you know, shit keeps happening. She looks, by the way, she looks really good. She got out of rehab. She looks like old Lindsay Lohan almost.
Oh, fuck all that.
No, look it up.
I give her about 10 minutes first before she,
I know. I'm just saying, look it up. She looks like...
No, I've seen it. She looks fine, but,
yeah.
Let me see.
She looks good.
And is alive again. Let's see.
She looks like the old lady on her hand, but just older, you know?
Got you.
Yeah.
What's the next question?
Francis McCabe. At one hit kills. Ask, what's your favorite game? Hashtag now give me a game.
Ever?
Hmm.
So hard.
Yeah.
Mine is really depends.
Like I'm always like there's like a pantheon of games. Like I have to have a game from each category or else I feel like because it's just hard to compare games like that. Like, how do you compare your favorite sports game of all time to your favorite strategy game of all time to your favorite shooter of all time?
Right.
Like,
so, like,
they each hit a need in your life, and you're like, I have to have that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, TIE Fighter is not the same as, you know, Ms. Pac-Man.
How do I compare Skyrim to Rome Total War?
Right.
I can't.
Yeah. I just always go with Link to the Past because it's what I grew up with. I played that about 100 times, and I love Zelda, so that's what I go with. When people ask me, that's what I say.
Fozzie?
What?
Favorite game?
Favorite game of all time.
Games? Oh, God. Well, Diablo 2.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
I can see that.
Alright, Jeff, what's next?
Sonic Chaos. What are your thoughts on Divekick, a.k.a. the most hyped game of all time? I don't even know what that is, so... Is it really the most hyped game?
Apparently it lacks some sort of hype. I've never heard either.
It's a, I know what Divekick is. I think Fozzie probably knows as well. It is a two-button fighting game. Or one-button fighting game, maybe. No stick.
Did it say Divekick?
Yeah, Divekick.
Oh, mother of God.
Yeah, it's... I don't like fighting games. This game sounds so ridiculous. They've taken all the, like, you know, the half circle, quarter turns, all that shit's not in it. It's just
jumping. For us.
It's really just jumping and kicking. That's it. That's what the game is. Jumping and kicking. Like, it's dive kick. You jump and you dive kick. Like, that's what the game is.
I like that idea already.
So wait, that one move from...
That's it.
From Mortal Kombat is now an entire game.
The kick, yeah.
it's the entire game.
Isn't it one hit kills? Like, that's it?
It may very well be.
I think it is. I think it's just one hit kill. I did see the guy, like, he was on a giant bomb panel back at PAX, so I did read up on it, but... I'm pretty sure it's one hit kill, and all you can do is, like he said, dive and kick. So,
I like that. I don't think I'd
play
it.
That's like an SFA type fighting game right there. So,
final question, unless you guys have some. Final question is from Tora: hamburgers or hot dogs?
I think Hammer.
Well, yeah, it depends. Like, if we're talking, like, really good, like, the best hamburger over the best hot dog, I'd go hamburger.
I typically go burger unless it's a Gene and Jude's hot dog, which if anyone ever goes to Chicago, like, look up Gene and Jude's and go there.
It's when fucking take mustard there and fucking just, oh, right in front of them. I can't wait. Sounds amazing.
Just give me my hot dog with Dijon mustard and banana peppers and sauerkraut. Hot dog.
Oh my god. So many wrong things happening there.
Ketchup.
No, you don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
Yes, ketchup.
See, at least Tony knows that. It's so weird how in different regions of the country, like, hot dogs are done so differently.
Also allowed mustard and chili. Chili dogs, delicious.
If it was hot dog or hamburger versus sausage, though, that's a different story.
Oh, like a bratwurst?
Yeah.
It's tough, but I think back when I was a kid, to me, hot dogs are kind of gross, and at the end of the day, I think hamburgers are better. Like, just in general.
Now I want a bratwurst, Fozzie. Give me, like, a pretzel roll with, like, a mustard.
Yeah.
Sauerkraut, obviously.
Chris?
Hamburger.
Yeah.
With nothing on it.
With cheese. Cheese, that's
it. Do you put ketchup on it, or?
No, cheese.
God. Oh, that's right, you don't like ketchup.
You can have so much fun with burgers, though. You can put so much stuff on them.
Yep, cheese. And bacon.
Yeah,
mozzarella cheese, like a marinara sauce, and like toasted.
I can get behind a pizza burger.
Yeah.
That's the thing to be burgers more versatile, and like you can do whatever you want, like you said, like you could do different things. They're all pretty good, but and hot dogs, people do different things, but there's only one right way to do hot dogs, I think.
Oh no, that's totally wrong. There are so many ways to do the hot dog.
From Chicago,
you could wrap it in a pretzel roll.
Yes, pretzel roll.
Or, what I sometimes do is we'll wrap it in a like croissant type, like the canned croissant you get from the grocery store.
Yeah.
And you wrap it up, make it giant, like pig in a blanket. Oh, it's so good. Put some cheese in there. Cheesy pig in a blanket.
Cheese.
But I don't think, like, there's just weird shit people do. Like, there's parts of the country they put, like, mayo on a hot dog.
Yeah, fuck
come
that.
On. That's not right. That's not right.
Well, you shouldn't put mayo on anything, but.
And plus, hot dogs vary in, like, to me, the only real hot dog is a beef hot dog.
Yes.
Oh, yes. No, you can't have any
all,
other
kind. All beef.
Oh, so that goes to the East Coast as well. Fozzie, beef hot dog or what?
Sure.
I mean, right, there's a distinct different taste to like, if you don't get an all beef hot dog, if you get a beef hot dog, or I mean, they sell turkey hot dogs and other shit. Like, I mean, there are distinct different tastes to it. Beef hot dog is what you need.
You don't want to eat turkey balls or whatever they put in it. Don't do it.
Turkey feet, gross. Just thinking about it makes me want to vomit.
You know that, like that. Like, you guys know, like, hot dogs, like, all, like, the worst parts. Like, they're the leftovers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but they take the worst parts and they make them into the best part, so.
Make it pretty good. But, like, also, you know, the color of the hot dog's not the natural color?
Oh, I'm sure. It probably looks fantastically gross if they use the actual color.
I'm sure it's a bunch of different colors, actually, that they have to all dye the
right.
Same color.
It's processed heat. Like,
right.
It's to be green. Like a really sick, like, puke green.
Great.
Like, it looks like you're eating, like really bad diarrhea for something.
I kind of want to try, like, a green hot dog.
And now I don't want to eat hot dogs, as you just described them as diarrhea.
Yeah. Yep.
Alright, so that was it for questions?
Yeah.
Alright, let's get some games giveaway. Let's give away three of them. Because we got nine people who sent in questions, so. Alright, Jeff, pick a number between 1 and 9.
7.
3.
Good, Hefe.
Jeff picked 3. Fozzie picked 7. Tony?
6.
Alright. Josh, Tony, and Tora, get in touch with us. We'll send you some Steam keys. And if you can't take Steam keys, I'm sorry. That's what we got. yeah. So get in touch with us. We'll shoot you some games.
I saw that Guns of Icarus game to give away. That game will not fucking just.
Would you have a code for that, or?
Yeah, I have a Steam code.
You
for
gave
it.
Me a code for that too, and you still have codes left.
You want to give it away?
Well, it's not a code. I just gifted to someone. So whoever has Steam, just fucking, I can't even give it away. So I don't care.
All right,
so once it, grab it.
Since Francis asked us, he asked us for a game. Fozzie will give you Guns of, was it Guns of Icarus?
Yeah, but I'm not going to contact him. He needs to contact me.
I'll have him contact you.
Shit.
Yeah.
So, Speed Gamer, contact.
Right, contact Fozzie the Gamer on, I believe that's your
Twitter.
Steam tag, right?
Oh, yeah, that's Twitter and Steam, so you'll find me on there.
Yeah.
Tell just him. Just let me know you want Guns. Right, and
him say, give my game. Also, join the Critically Sane, Steam group. Like our Facebook page. Vote us up on iTunes and shit like that.
This is Critically Sane, which is our website.
The website. And comment on the site. We're giving shit away. You comment there, you get a...
Free stuff. You like free stuff.
Chance to win a game at the end of the month, so do that.
Yeah.
And follow us on Twitter, too, at Critically Sane.
Yep.
And at Perfectly Sane, but mostly at Critically Sane, because...
Tony tweets from there.
That's right.
Critical.
And he's critical about it.
That feed's not automated, by the way, so if you see those tweets come out, that's me. That's actually me. Damn it.
Cool.
Which is good, because my wife actually said they are funny, so...
Oh, good.
You hear that? You hear that outstanding raving review?
That's right.
Damn. They're funny.
Funny.
Put it all up on the bulletins.
We'll be back next week. Fozzie has said he's going to be back part-time.
Yeah, part-time business.
So...
Are you going to be back next week, Fozzie?
I can't make promises.
Damn it.
It's my girlfriend now. She controls my life nowadays, so.
Yeah, but at some point that'll just mean you're at home every night like Chris and I are, so.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait for that sweet. Got that.
And yeah, we'll be back next week then. So listen to us next week.
I love you.
Say goodbye, Jeff.
I love you.
Yeah.